Lord. Is that all right with you? Amen. So you could go ahead and find, we'll be there in a minute, John chapter 14. Thank God for the word John, the 14th chapter. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we're in the middle of a series. This is actually part 9 that we call In Every Spiritual Blessing Is Ours. Glory to God. Ephesians 1:3 says that God has blessed. Has blessed means it's in the past. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And as you know, we're looking at some of these blessings and looking at how to receive them by faith. So, you know, they don't do us any good unless you receive them by faith. They all belong to us, but, you know, you have to receive the grace of God by faith. And one of the blessings that belongs to us is divine healing. Healing belongs to us. Aren't you glad? Praise God. I'm telling you, we had a lot of prayer requests for healing the last couple of weeks and heard a lot of good testimonies about people being healed. So we're thankful for that. I mean, amen. Glory to God. So tonight, like I said, is part 9 in our series. This may be the longest series I've ever done. We may have at least 15 of these, maybe more before I'm done. But because we wanted to look at some deeper things about healing, as you know, on Wednesday nights, we set aside Wednesday nights during this series, because it's taken several weeks, to talk specifically or exclusively about divine healing. And on Wednesday nights, we're talking about healing belongs to us because it's one of the things, you know, that one of those spiritual blessings. But we're talking specifically about 8 things you need to know about divine healing. Amen. And we're doing that on Wednesday. So far, we've discussed 4 of these 8 things. Now, I'm not going to review those tonight because we just don't have time to do it in order to cover what all we need to get into tonight. Amen. So let's just jump right into this. The 5th thing you need to know about divine healing is this. Know that God has provided a number of methods by which you may receive your healing. Know that God has provided a number of different ways or methods or means by which you may receive your healing. It seems to me that God loves us so much and He has so much compassion on us. You know, He really does not want people to be sick. Sickness causes a lot of suffering and a lot of pain and a lot of problems in a lot of areas. And of course, ultimately, it leads to an untimely death. And so it seems like that God just loves us so much that He has provided several different methods or ways or means whereby we can be healed. In other words, you can hook up to one of these. One of these will spark your faith or be a catalyst to your faith that you can join in with. And so the Spirit of God, and this is important too, because we're not only interested in being healed, we're interested in ministering healing to others. The Spirit of God may prompt us to pray for others using one of these methods for one person and use another method for another person on an occasion. Amen. You follow me? Amen. So we just need to be led by the Spirit of God. We may need to be led in order to obtain the healing that we need to hook up with one of these particular methods. I mean, day in and day out, you know, somebody like Brother Hagin would say, well, I just always, you know, that's the way he was healed. I just always knew that healing belonged to me and I just received it by faith. I just took it by faith. Glory to God. That's what I do. But on occasion, if the Spirit of God were to lead you, like Tony a couple of weeks ago, pointing because he's usually sitting over here, Tony a couple of weeks ago said, you know, he said, the Lord impressed me to come and have you guys anoint me with oil. Well, follow the leading of the Lord. And then he was prayed for, and they, you know, they took him in for the operation, come out and said, well, we can't, there's nothing we can do for you. We can't find anything here. Amen. Of course, from their viewpoint, it was like other things may need to be done, but Tony said, I'm doing great. Praise God. And so the main thing is that we find a place for ourselves or for others that we can hook up with and exercise faith in, because when faith is released, results fall every single time. When faith is released, glory to God, results always follow. And so for whatever reason, sometimes at a particular moment in time or because of a particular situation, one of these methods may resonate with us and inspire our faith for whatever reason more than another. God's just trying to get the healing over to us. Can you say amen? Praise God. The bottom line is He wants us well and He doesn't want us to suffer at the hands of sickness and disease. So He has provided several ways for us to receive His healing power. So let's look at these different methods or ways to obtain healing. Or you could say it this way, because I know you're students of the Bible and you go out and minister to a lot of people. Different ways that you can minister healing to others. Praise God. We were just in South Georgia, you know, there, and my coming back from my mother's house in Jacksonville. Of course, we come right on the interstate, just a few miles from Margaret's sister and my brother-in-law and their family and good friends, you know. And so they had said, hey, please stop by and eat lunch with us. So we did. They cooked us a steak. But we hadn't been there very long, where Margaret's sister said, you know, she's between mine and Margaret's age. And she said, you know, the doctor just diagnosed me with AFib. And she didn't know, you know, they're going to send her for further tests and so forth. Well, instantly in my spirit, I knew that I should lay hands on her. Now, I don't, you know, they go to a good Baptist church, and Margaret talks to her sister about the Lord, but we don't discuss differences with them. You understand what I'm saying? But instantly, I knew that I was going to lay hands on her. I just knew that in my heart. So all I have to do is obey and you know, that prompting. So as we're about to leave, I said, can I pray for you? Well, of course, she said, well, sure. And I laid hands on her and prayed in faith, just a simple prayer. Margaret and I laid hands on her and you know, started walking away. Of course, she's got tears running down her eyes. And she's told Margaret, she said, well, she said, you know, after an hour, about an hour after y'all left, she said, I haven't had any symptoms of AFib from then till now. And today she went to the doctor and they ran their test and so forth. And they said, well, we know you're not in AFib now. And so she'll get the test results back. But I'm convinced the healing power of God went into her. I believe she received it, and I believe she is healed. Glory to God. Well, we just, you know, if he would have impressed us to anoint her with oil, we'd have anointed her with oil. But he impressed us to just lay hands on her. So we did. Glory to God. Even impressed us the way to say it. We prayed, Lord, touch her heart. In other words, heal her heart. Amen. So number one, different methods to receive healing. Number one, use the name of Jesus and demand that sickness and disease leave. Use the name of Jesus and demand that sickness and disease leave. I told you to turn to John 14. You can look at verses 13 and 14. John 14. Actually, let's back up to verse 12 because you need to see something here. Jesus said, most assuredly, verily, verily. In other words, this is the absolute truth. This is nothing but the truth. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. Well, is that true or is it not true? The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he says again, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, you know, we accept that kind of readily, but you know, if you're just casually reading this and saying, oh, I don't know what that means, just skip over it like a lot of people do. But Jesus said an astounding thing here. And he, in essence, repeated it three times. He said, you're going to do greater works than I do. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I said, he will do it. When he, in essence, says something three times, he's saying it for emphasis. Like, hey, your mind may be fighting you here, but I'm the Son of God, and I'm telling you that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do. Oh, glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Because it seems too good to be true. And so, and understand something here. This is not talking about prayer. In John chapter, he talks about prayer throughout the Bible, but in John chapter 16, in verses 23 and 24, he specifically talks about praying to the Father in his name, asking the Father for something. That's prayer, but this is not talking about prayer. This is talking about demanding something in the name of Jesus. It's talking about what they did, you know, Peter and John, you know, went up into the temple to pray. You remember that in Acts chapter 3? And there was a man there that was lame from his mother's womb. A man that was lame from his mother's womb. And he was carried there daily. And he was begging alms. And in verse number 6, Peter said to the man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up. Peter didn't pray for him. He just said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's what he's talking about here. Glory to God. So we can use the name of Jesus and demand our rights and privileges. Why you say demand? Because it says whatsoever you ask, this word ask, very strongly in the Greek connotes the idea of demanding. Demanding. Of course we're not demanding that God do something. God's not the one that put the sickness and disease on them in the first place. So we're not demanding anything of God. We're demanding of the devil. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we're demanding that the devil take his hands off the people. We're demanding that anything that goes against God's will, go. We're demanding in Jesus' name that the devil or anything that comes from Satan leave. And in this case, we're demanding in the name of Jesus that sickness leave people's body. In the name of Jesus, you know, I demand that you leave this body. And throughout the book of Acts, you'll notice several times they didn't pray for the sick. They just demanded that they rise up. They just demanded in the name of Jesus, the devil go. Glory to God. They didn't ask God to deliver them. They told the devil to go in Jesus' name. So we can use the name of Jesus and demand our rights and demand our privileges and just demand that sickness and disease leave our body or somebody else's body in the name of Jesus. And of course, you can spend a lot of time studying the name of Jesus and building up your faith in the power in the name. It's the name above all names. And everything has to bow its knee to the name of sickness and disease. Well, COVID is a name, isn't it? Glory to God. And so is cancer, and so is heart problems. It has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Number two, you could have someone agree with you in faith that you are healed. I said we're talking about different ways, different methods whereby or by which a person may be healed. And, you know, number two is you can have someone agree with you in faith that you are healed. Matthew 18, 19 and 20 says this, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father. It shall be. You know, I got curious one time because, you know, I just read that scripture, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do. And this scripture says, it shall be done. And there's, you know, there's several other scriptures that talk along these lines. Whatsoever things you desire, when you believe you and you have. I had to look it up because I got a lot of commentaries. I got to looking up some commentaries by people that I knew didn't believe in the power of God. Good people, good men, good, you know, I read after them. They have a lot of good things to say. But I thought, what in the world do they do with these scriptures? I mean, you know, they're just right there in black and white, in red, really, written by Jesus. What do you do? Well, you know, all things are possible to him that believe. And you know, and because you have to understand, most of these commentaries, these are educated people. These are sincere people. Not to step on anybody's toes because there's nothing wrong with it, but they're not just an ignorant backwoods guys that starts making an argument that doesn't hold water. They make some good arguments as to why they believe what they believe or why they don't believe what they believe. And so what I found out is they all readily said, well, this is true. It's just what the Bible says. But they said, it's got to be according to the will of God. You know, that's their out. It's got to be the will of God. It's got to be the will of God. And then according to them, nothing's the will of God. You know, but we know it is the will of God for people to be delivered from demons. We know it is the will of God for people to be delivered from sickness and disease. Glory to God. And to have their needs met and to be protected and to overcome and so forth and so on. And so it says, if you agree on anything, if two of you agree on anything, it shall be done. It shall be done for them by my Father. You can't say it any stronger, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's written in the Greek, I'm right in the midst of that agreement. That it's an agreement of faith, see. You agree with what the Word says. In other words, you both believe what the Word says. You agree what the Word says about your situation is true. And Jesus said, I'm right in the midst of that to cause it to come to pass. Hallelujah. If there's agreement. Amen. I said, if there's agreement. Now, you can't be like the couple I heard about that they wanted to sell their house. And they had, you know, this was a time when right now, I guess houses are selling good. But this was a time when the market wasn't good and they had tried for a long, long time, a year and a half or something, to sell their house. And so they the husband and wife got together and they prayed the prayer of agreement and agreed that their house would sell, and it didn't sell. And so they got to talking about it and discussing it months later and talking to a minister. And finally, I forgot which one it was, either the wife or husband admitted and said, well, I didn't really agree with you. I didn't really want to sell it in the first place. Well, it won't work if you don't agree. Amen. So when they got an agreement, you know, then they got results, praise God. Well, husbands and wives should be great agreeing partners. Amen. Glory to God. But notice it only takes two. What you agree on, what you demand, must be in accordance with God's will. Of course that's true. Must be in line with the Word of God. Of course that's true. But what is His will? His will is His word. Whatever He says He'll do in His word, that's what His will is. This is His last testament, a New Testament, Old Testament, and will. So we find out the will of God through the word of God. So He tells us what His will is. And when it comes to the power of agreement, I think this is important to say, especially in the light of us starting back prayer tonight, it only takes two people, two that really believe that Jesus will do what they agree on. It only takes two. See, some people have the idea that, man, two, forget two. We got to get 10 people praying. Well, that's good. We got to get 100 people praying. That's good. We got to get 1,000 people praying. That's good. We got to get 10,000 people praying. But if they all pray in unbelief, it won't do one lick of good. It won't help one bit. If they don't agree, it won't do one bit of good. But if just two will really agree, according to the will of God, the Word of God, it will be done. Reminded me, and I looked it up, of a story. I've heard this story many times. I'll read it to save times. It's from Brother Hagin. He talks about a young Pentecostal evangelist. He was dying of TB back in the 1930s. And he said, this man's older now, and he said he personally told me this story. He said, I had become bedfast. And I didn't become bedfast immediately. You know, back in the 30s, TB was, it was like saying cancer today. The Bible calls it, old-timers call it consumption. Do you ever notice in Deuteronomy chapter 28, one of the things we've been redeemed from is the curse of consumption? Well, that's TB. And really, if you look deeper into it, it's not just consumption. It has to do with COVID right here. Consumption is anything, any kind of disease that has to do with your lungs. It would be what we call today COPD, what they used to call emphysema, TB. You know, all these viral infections, people die of all kinds of flus and all kinds of pneumonia and so forth. That's one of the number one killers, always has been one of the number one killers in society for the last 200 years. Well, we have been redeemed from the curse of these lung diseases. Aren't you glad for that? Yes. Pray, cancer of the lungs, all of these things fall into that category. Well, this man had been diagnosed with TB. At first he could get along okay a little bit. He's a preacher. He's doing his meetings and goes on along for 2 or 3 years. But he began to hemorrhage, and bleed from his lungs. And he finally got so bad that they took him to his family's farm, his father-in-law, his mother's people, farm just way out in the country. And he said, I was lying there just totally bedfast, wanting to be healed, praying about being healed and so forth. And he said one day his father-in-law was out in the fields plowing, and his wife and mother-in-law were behind the house doing the wash. And so this young evangelist, diagnosed with TB, dying, bleeding in both lungs, he's begging God. He just looked out and he saw this, it's like it's several hundred yards from the house there. I think this is out in like Texas, where the part where it's kind of wide open. And he saw this nice little shady area, 2 or 3 trees and a couple of bushes. And he said, I'm just going to get out there. I just want to make it over there to that nice little shady area. God, because he can't even hardly get out of bed, give me the strength to get there. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to pray till glory to God until I'm healed or till I die. And so somehow or another, he made it out there, And when he got out there, he was so weak, he just fell down flat on his face in the midst of the head to the ground, in the midst of that thicket, exhausted. He couldn't have cried for help if he wanted to. I mean, in the first place, he could barely talk above a whisper. If he'd have been talking, you couldn't have heard him on the third row there. And now he's out in the middle of an open-air field, a mile or two from the closest person, and other people are miles and miles away. And the devil said, the buzzards are going to lead them to you. You're going to die right here in this field. He said, that's all right. He says, that's what I came to do. I came out here to pray till I'm healed or pray till I die. But as he lay there, he got to thinking about it. You see, because before he got to that condition during those last 2 or 3 years, every church he went to, he told the people that he'd been diagnosed with TB consumption. And he promised, he said, would you pray for me? Some churches 100, some 400, some 1,000. And he said he did this at church after church after church after church after church after church after church. And he said he had gotten hundreds of people, thousands of people to say they would pray for him. He said not only that, but in his day, the leading healing evangelist of the day. And if you know your church history, back in the 30s, there was in the 20s and 30s, there was a healing revival going on in this nation. And he said every healing evangelist in the nation that was anybody had laid hands on me and prayed for me. He said, I got to thinking about it as I lay there. Well, you know, because I'm making the point, you know, that if two of you shall agree, if two agree, that's all it takes. But 1,000 can be praying in unbelief and it won't do any good. Now, it doesn't mean all these people were praying for him in unbelief, but he was wrong in himself. He said, I got to thinking about it. And he said, if you put all those prayers together, it would be hundreds of hours of prayer. All of these great men of faith had laid hands on me. I decided, my God, I'm missing it somewhere. I'm not going to pray anymore at all. There's no use in praying. I see where I missed it. I mean, thousands of people have prayed. Hundreds of people have prayed. No telling how many hours have been prayed for me. He said, I'm missing it. I'm trying to get somebody else to pray when I should have been doing my own praying. I've been trying to get God to give me what he says is already mine. Which is, of course, the secret to miracles, the secret to faith. It's what faith is. You're not trying to get God to do something. You're just believing that he's already given you. Whatever he says belongs to you is already yours. And so instead of trying to get it, as David Chambliss talked about Sunday morning, you say, Father, we just demand our rights. And we just thank you, Father. Thank you that it's done. Thank you that it's done. Thank you that it's done. Praise God. Thank you as I believe I've got it. You say thank you after somebody gives you the present. If you're begging God for something, you're acting like he hasn't given it to you. And that's what he was doing, in essence, begging God. So he said, I said, thank you, Jesus. I just begin to lift my hands. I could just barely raise my head off the dirt, you know. I'm so exhausted. And he said, I just started whispering, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you that I'm healed. Thank you that I'm healed. He said, I did that for about 10 minutes and my voice got stronger. And I continued for another, raised up on my knees and said, thank you, Jesus, I am healed. Thank you, I am healed. Glory to God, I am healed. I am healed. He said, another 10 minutes went along and I got enough strength to get up on my feet. He said, at the end of 2 hours, I don't think some people would do this for 2 minutes. But he said, at the end of 2 hours, I was on my feet hollering, praise God, so loud that you could have heard me a mile away. Totally healed and totally well. You see, when we agree with the word, not just mentally understand it and say, oh, I see how that operates, but when we really agree with it and believe it in our hearts and act on it, we get results. And my point to you is this, is when we agree with the word and believe the word, we get results. Thousands can be praying, but not agreeing or not praying in line with the word, and that won't get results. But when we pray in line with the word, and when we agree with the word, it only takes two, and that's one way you can get your healing, when two of you agree. When two of you agree. Can you say amen? Amen. Number three, we're talking about different methods whereby a person may be healed. God loves us so much, surely we can hook up with one of these. Number three, you can just know healing belongs to you and resist any sickness that attempts to come on your body. You just know that healing belongs to you, and so you resist it when it tries to come on your body. You boldly declare, by his stripes I'm healed. I agree with God's word that according to Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. That's talking about Jesus. That's talking about Jesus on the cross. According to 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the well, and the devil's trying to steal my health. See, that's the attitude. I'm not sick. I'm healed. I'm healed, and I'm not allowing sickness to come on me. Glory to God. And so you just resist the sickness and disease, and you lift your hands, and you say, thank God, according to the word of God, according to 1 Peter 2:24, according to Matthew 8:17, according to Galatians 3:13, according to Isaiah 53, I am healed. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I am healed. And, of course, I can't tell you the number of times when some little something would try to come on me, or maybe it was something serious, who knows? And I just say, no, I resist that in the name of Jesus. And you know, I've even said, inspired by the Spirit, I said, when I wake up in the morning, I never knew this was here. When I woke up in the morning, I never knew it was there. There were other times, Margaret's had the same experience, I wouldn't even know what was going on in her body. But you know, she resisted it for 3 or 4 months or 6 months or 7 months. Glory to God. And then she'd tell me about it. Never even knew it was happening. Well, some of these things, I'm telling you, some of these things are quite serious. Some of these things, because of my situation in insurance, I have to go get regular checkups from a doctor. And if you just mention them to the doctor, he goes, you know, some of them are terminal or terrible. It's just like, you got to live with that. And I go, I'm not living with that. I don't tell him because he didn't understand. But you know, in other words, it's going to be with you the rest of your life. And the next time I see him, it's not there anymore. Glory to God, because I resist it in the name of Jesus. So you just know what belongs to you, and you resist it in the name of Jesus. A fourth way, a person may receive healing, or that healing may be transferred to the sick as you pray for them, is people receive healing through gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about 9 different gifts of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit is gifts, it's always said this way, gifts, plural, of healings. Gifts of healings. Amen. I think it's said that way because, you know, sometimes you'll see somebody and it seems like everybody they pray for with back problems gets healed. Somebody else has great results when it comes to another area. Gifts, plural, of healing. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of healings and manifestations of the healing power from one individual. Gifts of healing, here's the definition, is a supernatural manifestation of healing power through one individual to another individual. Of course, what happens a lot of times, even among Pentecostal people, is that's the only kind of healing they know about. In other words, if there's some kind of special manifestation, special anointing, they see people getting healed, thank God for that, but that's not the only way you can get healed. Like the woman with the issue of blood, you can use your faith and go get what belongs to you anytime you want to, because it belongs to you. But thank God for manifestations of the Spirit. Thank God for gifts of the Spirit. Somebody like a Benny Hinn, you know, operates in gifts of the Spirit in modern day times, or somebody like Catherine Kuhlman in days of old operating in gifts of the Spirit. These gifts work through people initiated by the Holy Spirit. Thank God. I know what it is to have when I lay hands on the sick, any believer can lay hands on the sick in faith and see miracles. But you know, sometimes there's a special anointing. You know, where you transfer the anointing power of God flows through you out of your hands into the person you're praying for. That's a gift of healing that operates through believers, and thank God for it. Amen. Like all the gifts of the Spirit, these things, not all the gifts work this way, but this particular gift usually works better among new believers or untaught believers. Glory to God. But like all the gifts, and they are a sign of God's presence and power among us, and they inspire faith. So God, through these gifts of the Spirit, glory to God, thank God for these gifts of the Spirit, but you don't have to wait for them. You can use your faith and receive the healing that belongs to you. Now, turn over to James chapter 5, verse number 14. I like this one because in our last 30 or 40 years, because people have been well taught about faith, people haven't necessarily used this one, but in the last 150 years, I think probably more people have been healed through this particular method than almost all the other ones put together. Maybe even the laying on of hands. Because it's just something that's really easy to hook up with. It's something to really see and understand. It's a place it doesn't require a whole lot of faith to understand this and hook up with it. But the results are dynamic. James chapter 5, verse number 14. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick or heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Glory to God. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Well, that's hard to argue with, isn't it? Amen. I said amen. In Mark 6:13, Jesus' disciples, it says, anointed many with oil who were sick and healed them. So a fifth way, a fifth method, a fifth opportunity to receive healing or to minister healing is through the anointing with oil. To be anointed with oil or to anoint somebody else with oil. And you understand, you know, like I've had entire messages just on this one thing. But for tonight's purposes, I just felt impressed this way. I remember hearing the story about P.C. Nelson. P.C. Nelson, you know, was a founder of the Pentecostal movement in the early 20th century. I would call him one of the founders of the Assembly of God Church. He founded one of their main Bible schools, you know. But before that, he was a very famous Baptist pastor. And he was an extremely educated man. So in the early days of the Pentecostal movement, because he was such an extremely educated man, he gave a lot of credence to the Pentecostal movement, to divine healing and tongues and so forth. Because here's this man could read and write in over 30 languages. He's got me beat by 30. He was considered the number one Greek scholar in the world and the number two Hebrew scholar in the world, or vice versa. I forget which one it is, but he's a smart man. And so in 1921, before he, you know, this is how I began to learn and get involved with the Pentecostal message, he was hit by a car. When he was hit by this car, his leg was damaged, and the doctor said, we're going to have to take that leg off. He said, and if we don't take it off, it's going to give you problems the rest of your life. You'll never be able to use it properly. It'll just be like a stiff piece of board that you can never work right, never work right. Amen. And so said, probably we're going to have to amputate it, but if we don't, it's going to be stiff the rest of your life. Well, he's lying in bed. You know, he's an intelligent man. He's a smart man. He obviously reads the Bible, the New Testament in the Greek, reads the Old Testament in the Hebrew. A learned man, he knew about James 5:14, and that came to his mind. But, you know, and he knew that was the Lord, but trying to get away from that, he said, well, Lord, there's nobody in my church, I don't know anybody in my church that I could call to come, because he has an impression from the Lord, get somebody to come anoint you with oil, because I don't know anybody that believes in that. Well, the Lord reminded him of four friends that he had that were Pentecostal, that were Spirit-filled, that did believe in the anointing with oil. He said, you call them, and you have them come and anoint you with oil. So they did. He called for them. They came and anointed him with oil. They prayed the prayer of faith over him. His leg was not amputated, and it never was stiff. Not in the least. Amen. Well, he was mightily used of God and wrote different books and so forth. And in one of his books, he wrote, healing is a part and parcel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody ever hear anybody use that expression, part and parcel? That used to be said a lot. It's only one person raised there. It's not used anymore, but part and parcel meant it's an integral part that you cannot separate from it. He was saying healing is a part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is included in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be separated from what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. It's just a part of it. It's part of the whole package. It's part and parcel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, that was a famous saying from him in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and so forth. Amen. So thank God that you can anoint people with oil and see people healed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Another way, a sixth way one can receive healing is through the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. Turn to Mark chapter 16. I think we're familiar with that because we really see a lot of that in our day. The laying on of hands. Mark chapter 16. You know, Mark 5, 21 and 23. Mark 5, verses 21 through 23. Jairus believed that when he said, if you will come lay your hands on my daughter, she will be healed. You understand? Faith's the master key. The master key. Glory to God. We first moved into this building. We've kind of dwindled it now, but when they first turned the keys over this building to us, you know, we have all these rooms, and we had key rings that had, I mean, they had 100 keys on them. And, you're sitting there trying to figure out how to open one little closet with, you know. Well, thank God we've tried to get it where there's a master key, you know, can open everything. Faith is always, if somebody's going to anoint you with oil, the key to your being healed is you got to believe. If they're going to lay hands on you, cooperate and believe. If they want you to agree with them, cooperate. Amen. That's the key. You believe. If somebody's operating through gifts of the Spirit, believe. Cooperate with them. Flow with them. Don't resist them. If you resist it, it won't work. You have to yield to the Holy Ghost and yield to the Word of God. In Mark 6, 5, Jesus laid hands on people to heal them. In Luke 18, Jesus laid hands on the woman who was bowed over and could in no way straighten herself up and had been that way for 18 years and healed her. In Acts 28, 8, Paul laid hands on a man and healed him. In Acts chapter 9, Ananias, a disciple, not an apostle, but a disciple, a layman, not even a preacher, a layman, laid his hands on Paul to be healed and to be filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. And so here in Mark chapter 16, it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Who can lay hands on people? Any believer. All believers that believe, In the Greek, it says, the believing ones shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I'm convinced that anytime any believer lays hands on another believer in faith, the healing power of God is released. Now, whether that person receives that power or not, but it is released. Thank you, Jesus. The healing power of God. Amen. So we can see there are several methods by which we may receive healing. Beyond these, you know, we won't even talk about these. You can ask God to heal you and believe He does. You know, John 16, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will do it. Mark 11, 24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have them. And then James 5, 16 says, pray one for another that you may be healed. When we take these prayer requests, we're praying for people. You know, sometimes, you know, other people's wills are involved. Glory to God, but all things being equal, our prayers avail much. We David's son, you know, was I mean, I saw a picture of him this morning where he's got the tube on him and he's in the ICU and unfortunately the man in the bed beside him passed away. And just a few hours later, he's sitting up smiling. Well, a lot of prayers were made for him. Thank God for it. He's close to coming home, isn't he? Been released to, they're trying to get him to a regular room, but they can't, didn't have room, you know.
He's supposed to move tonight.
Do what?
Going to
move to a regular room. I mean, that's a long way from being, you know. Do what?
There's more to it than that.
Come up here and tell us. Come up here and tell us. Glory to God. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Pray one for another that you may be healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good.
Chad, this is his oldest son.
Yes, my oldest son. I have three boys, his, hers, and ours. This is my oldest. And as breakthrough came, he first started out with 20 liters of oxygen, forcing that down his throat, through his nasal passages. Then he switched him over to CPAP, which is at 95% CPAP with oxygen. Came down to 45% oxygen. I mean, excuse me, 45% CPAP with oxygen. Then yesterday, he came down just on 10 milliliters of oxygen. He's talking, he's texting. I mean, this is a miracle. So today, I got a call from his wife, and she says, Chad's doing great. He's anxious. He's on 2 liters of oxygen.
Now, Tanner, you understand this. Tanner's a lieutenant with the EMS. What do you call it?
EMS, yeah.
He's EMS, lieutenant. Come up here. You understand this stuff, don't you? Plus you went through this yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Amen. Tell us what's going on here from your perspective medically.
So basically, when they're forcing the air through your nasal passages, I was on that. It's called a Vapotherm, and it's high-flow oxygen. Like, it's as much oxygen as they can put through your nose at one time. You have a big old liter of fluid because it blows so much, it'll dry everything out. After that, the BiPAP or the CPAP basically forces air down into your lungs, and you've got a mask all over your face. After that is when they do put you on a ventilator, and they put a tube down into your windpipe, and the machine basically breathes for you.
They never had to do that.
Awesome. That is awesome.
So today, on the latest report, the doctor came in and talked with Chad, but his wife relayed it to me. The doctor, he's a critical care individual there at Memorial Hospital. And he said, ever since COVID hit, we have never had a case like this. He said, this is beyond human ability, what has taken place. He said, your son has recovered, or you know, your husband has recovered so quickly.
Because he recovered so quickly, yeah.
Yes, that this is beyond human ability. We don't know exactly what's going on here, but, you know, prayers work, and God's in this for sure.
Amen.
Now, one other thing. I apologize for taking the time.
You're all right.
One other thing. Now, Ashley told me when I was talking to her today, and my son reiterated, that during this time when the fight was really there, when he was really at death's door, he said, Dad, I saw demons. He said they were black. They were in the room moving around. He said this one had teeth. came up to me and I was saying, "You're not welcome here, leave." He said, I yelled that. I yelled that several times. He said, one came up, put his hand over my mouth because he felt like he was suffocating during this whole process. He said, one of the demons came up, put his hand over his mouth, and he said, it's almost like I had a straw that I had to just, that's all I could get. He said, I felt suffocating the whole time. Evidently, the demon left him from the prayers, and Chad said, you know, I've been praying myself, and that's a miracle. I'm not speaking bad over my son. And I reminded him today, I said, listen, you know, you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior years ago as a child. You went to kids' camp. You got filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues. I told his wife that, and she's like, oh, really? And I said, plus, Pastor Mark baptized you and Heath at Chilhowee years ago. I said, son, it's in you. It's always been in you. And I said, thank God it was in there. And you prayed. And you're delivered. A miracle has taken place. He said, it's just, the doctor just can't understand it, short of it being a miracle. That's all I can say.
Amen. Amen.
And thank God, because it's because of y'all. It's because of the thousands of others that's been praying and believing for him, standing with him. Because to make a long story short, and I'm not speaking bad about my daughter-in-law. I love her. Oh, my gosh, I love her so much. But things happened in a church they were in years ago, and it's turned her against what she says, religion.
Well, I'm against religion myself.
Me too. Me too. Stinking thinking, you know. But we're just believing this is a breakthrough. They're going to find a church. I don't care if it's here. Just as long as they get in church and they're fed the uncompromising word.
Well, you know, we were praying, Margaret and I, we were praying like we always do for many, many people that are in Chad's situation. We're praying that they get restored, that they get healed, but they know that God did it.
Yes.
And they turn back to God. And
He knows. And, He knows beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Amen. Praise God.
Between the prayers of people and God, He knows beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Let me see that, Mike. Oh. Amen. Tanner is doing wonderful, but you had a long battle, but praise God, mm-hmm. You are healed and well and got every kind of good report you could get. Couldn't
Amen.
You?
Yeah, I was out of work for 6 months. 6 months. My lungs at first, when I got out of the hospital, I was only getting in half the air that I should have. 3 weeks ago, I went to my pulmonologist, and he said my lung function test was absolutely 100% normal.
Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, we are thankful. We are thankful. We are thankful. Praise God. We are thankful. Thank God. Especially when it comes to praying for others. Brother Hagin said, we miss it sometimes, not always, but sometimes, trying to get God to move by just one method. We should get lined up with Him by listening to Him, seeing how He is leading us at the moment, and using whatever method He indicates. See, God works in different ways, and God uses people in different ways. Amen. One man. I mean, this man, mighty, mighty, mighty miracles in his ministry. Mighty miracles. He always anointed people with oil when he prayed. Now, see, you haven't seen that much in the last 30 years. But with this man, you know, he was part of the healing revival in the 50s, 60s. He didn't just have a little bitty thing of oil. He had somebody follow him. You know, people do different things, ministers. Well, his helpers followed him with just a big bowl of oil. He just anointed, prayed for people for hours, you know. Well, you see, he, as a young man, he was dying. And medical science said there is absolutely no hope that you will ever be well. No hope. And he was down to what they said was, you've just got a few days. But somebody came along and anointed him with oil, and he was raised up by the power of God. Can you say amen? Well, he knows anointing with oil works. He believes in the anointing with oil. And so that's the way he always prayed for the sick. Amen. And people got out of wheelchairs, and people took off braces, and people threw down crutches, and he anointed every one of them with oil. Here's another man. He was dying, They took him to a meeting. They like today where you know, with the EMS and ambulances and this, you can take people and all the... No, they just took him in the back of the old Ford or the old Dodge or whatever. They can't get him out. They don't have any stretchers to get him out. He just crumpled up in the back seat, but the healing van just came out and laid hands on him. And when he did, he was instantly healed. Well, you know what he did? He always laid hands on people. Again, mighty, mighty works of God operated through him. He believed in the laying on of hands. Here's a denominational minister, highly educated. He didn't believe in all this healing business. He didn't like healing evangelists, kind of like somebody saying a televangelist today. Well, a healing evangelist was a dirty word, you know, in his day. And so he goes to one of the meetings. He didn't go there because out of curiosity or to learn anything. He went there and sat way up in the balcony because he's searching for information and material to use against him in his messages because he's actively preaching against him. Well, he has a chronic sickness. You know, it's not something that's fatal. It's not something it's not terminal. But nonetheless, he's got pain associated with it. Some days he's okay. Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he can't hardly function very good. He's probably going to be able to live out his full number of days. This disease might shorten his life, but it's constantly nagging, constantly problem. He's constantly taking medication for it. Well, he's in this meeting with a woman evangelist. Now, boy, she's a double woman. He don't like women preachers, and he don't like this woman evangelist, and she's up there preaching away, you know. And all of a sudden, she pointed up to the balcony where he's sitting and said, "There's a minister back there," and said, "He's got this condition, his exact condition." He said, "If you'll come down here and we'll lay hands on you." See, sometimes these things work together. She's saying that by word of knowledge. Amen. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit, where you supernaturally know things that you wouldn't automatically know in your regular self. And the gifts of healing, as she lays hands on them, are going to operate. Healing, laying on of hands, gifts of healing, we're all working together. But this man got mad. Because, you know, people are all up there looking, and in that one little section, there's, you know, he's a well-dressed man, and they're all kind of staring at him, and he's kind of embarrassed and saying, "How dare she?" But as he thought about it, he said, "Well, medical science can't help me. I'll just march myself down there and see what she's got." So he went down there. She laid hands on him. He fell on the floor, and he got up off the floor, and all his symptoms were gone. He was totally healed by the power of God. Well, he believes in healing now. But, you know, in his ministry from that day forth, he always emphasized gifts of the Spirit because that's what he believed in. See, which one's right? They're all right. They're all right. Amen. Praise God. And so we just need to hook up and use our faith. You know, always emphasize just receive what rightfully belongs to you. Yet at the same time, when I pray, lay hands on the sick, I recognize that an anointing flows through me to go into people's bodies to heal their bodies. And we've seen tremendous results. But thank God, God loves us so much. He just wants us well. So he's provided all these different methods whereby one might be healed. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you see, the laying on of hands, the anointing with oil, or any other kind of way that you pray for people, agreeing won't work. It'll simply be a religious ritual if you don't put faith with it. But if you put faith with it, it'll work. Anybody got any pain in their body right now? Anybody experiencing any pain? I knew I was supposed to pray for you tonight. I knew that. Would you come up here and let me pray for you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I knew that. I knew I was supposed to lay hands on you tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you had turn around? How many of you have one time or another had hands laid on you and got healed through the laying of hands, at one time or another? That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Is this something that's chronic, or is just something going on the last week or two?
I had hip surgery a year ago, and this hasn't been right.
Okay. Praise God, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we lay our hands on our dear brother in the name of Jesus, and we speak the word of faith to him. Glory to God, and we say, be healed. In the name of Jesus. That's the power of God. That's the anointing of God. We say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for healing him. And we command this pain to go from his body and from his hips to be well and whole and heal in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We take it by faith, and now we just thank you that it's done. We call it, we know it's done not because of what we feel, not because of what we don't feel, but because your word said, lay hands on the sick, and when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So we thank you that the healing power of God is at work in his body, curing him and healing him right now in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Praise God. Hey, man. How's it going? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Glory to God. We're praying to the Father who loves you. We're praying in the name that's above all name. We're praying according to the will of God that you be healed. We're obeying the word of God that says, lay hands on the sick and they... All of this. Glory to God. Sickness doesn't have a chance. Be healed and be well in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for healing his body. Thank you for healing his body in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes. 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 Just lift your hands and praise God with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And bless him, Father. Bless him. But to be blessed, whatever you need, you'd have to receive. So be blessed. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We thank 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 you. Amen. 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 Glory to God. 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 I want you to say, every time you think about it, go to bed tonight saying, Father, I just thank you that I am healed. Thank you that I am. I'm not trying to get it anymore. I thank you that the power of God is working in my body. When you wake up in the morning, just lift your hand and say, thank you, Father, you transferred me. You translated me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and I am healed. And every time you think about it, just thank him for it. Just thank him for it. Amen. Praise God. And we're over. We're going to start prayer. We'll take about a 10-minute break, and we'll start prayer at 8:20 tonight. How about that? We love you so much. Thank you for your testimonies. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you if you're with us online. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.